Welcome to Financial Repression Authority's Roundtable Insight, where the best fund managers, economists, and industry leaders discuss the key investment issues and challenges in the current macroeconomic environment.
Hi, welcome to FRA's Roundtable Insight. This is Richard Benulli. Today we have Ronald Peter Stovall. He is the Managing Partner and Investment Manager at Incrementum. Together with Mark Balick, he manages a global macro fund, which is based on the principles of the Austrian School of Economics. He's also the co-publisher of In Gold We Trust Report, and that is the focus of our discussion today. Welcome, Ronnie.
Hi, Richard. Thanks for being here again.
Great to have you. And so today, yeah, we thought we'd do a focus on the report in terms of the highlights, the key messages as you see them. So just wondering about that, if you want to give us a high-level, broad overview.
Well, just to give you a quick note on the report itself, we're publishing it for the 11th time now. So I started writing the report when I was a research analyst at Erste Group in Vienna, and then I set up my own company together with some colleagues from Switzerland at Mark Valek, who's from the institutional fund management side. And yeah, what we try to do with this In Gold We Trust report is we want to deliver what we call the holistic view. So we don't care about the annual supply demand of gold itself, because we found out that there are factors that are much more important for the gold price development, such as opportunity costs, such as real interest rates, inflation, the debt situation. We also write about mining stocks, about the technical analysis, about the capital structure, very much based on the Austrian school. We're writing about financial repression, the war against cash, for example. We're writing, of course, about Bitcoin and its advantages, but also disadvantages over gold. We had a fascinating interview with Dr. Judy Shelton, who is an economic advisor to Donald Trump. We're writing quite a lot about the history of our monetary system. So as you can see, it's always quite a read. For this year, we had more than 160 pages. But there's also, if you don't have a weekend or a whole vacation to spend reading the report, there's also a compact version.
So, okay, sure. Yeah. Yeah, it's quite an international recognition with the 1.2 million readers, and is used extensively as a reference work for everybody in the precious metal sector.
Yeah, it's only this year, and we published it on 1st of June, we had more than 1.2 million readers already. We were quoted in 60 countries all over the world, from Burkina Faso, Mali, Vietnam, of course, China, India. So we've got readers everywhere. And it seems that people are interested in the topics that we are writing, and that makes us honestly, very, very proud, and is also a good motivation to invest and dedicate so much time and energy into this publication.
Great. So let's get started. You've been very kind in providing a number of slides that we will make available on the website in the write-up, so you can link to the website to download that. And we'll also do a summary that will interweave the slides as a transcript. And so I urge all the listeners to look at that, and that can form the basis of our discussion today. We've got you've got an executive summary slide that highlights the key messages. If you want to start with that, that would be great.
Yeah, of course. I think even though nobody is really interested, it seems, in gold at the moment, I think last year we made the lows. I think we're at the beginning of a new bull market, very early stage. Gold was up 8.5% last year, And since the beginning of 2017, we're up again. I think in dollar terms, it's slightly less than 8% now. The important thing is that we are up in basically every currency. But nobody's really recognizing it. So this is Mark called it once a sitting bull. It's a bull market that nobody is recognizing, and the bull market will get going. Now the question is, what's the trigger gonna be? And from my point of view, the trigger will be a U-turn by the Federal Reserve. Once the market realizes that the emperor has no clothes, I think this will be the point when gold will really pick up momentum. And from my point of view, we are pretty close to that. We're seeing that inflation numbers, price inflation is way too low. So the Fed will have a hard time continuing raising rates. We're seeing many signs that the U.S. economy is actually doing much worse than the mainstream economists see it, and therefore I think that this, in combination with the U.S. dollar that made its highs and that is at the beginning of a new bear market, and this is actually what Donald Trump he says it very openly. He wants and he needs a weak dollar. He's very, very open about that. It's no secret. So I think this is a very, very good combination for gold. Actually, also given the fact that the sentiment at the moment is so low. So from a technical point of view, it's interesting. Yesterday marked the seasonal low in gold. So from a seasonal perspective, we're having quite some tailwind in the next couple of months. I think the sentiment is negative, so I think from a short but also from a long term point of view, it's an excellent setup.
Yeah, exactly, and I think as well the idea that everybody has been expecting fiscal stimulus policy, but it hasn't really happened yet, or not much. You know, there was talk about infrastructure spending, but it's either been delayed or there hasn't been much of it. So maybe monetary policy might still be the only approach, right, by central banks and governments. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of wondering that. Actually, last year gold had a tremendous run, and then came Donald Trump, and from one point to the other, the markets changed. It was such a big reversal, and there was so much confidence in Donald Trump. You know, the reflation trade and so much hope for fiscal stimulus, but so far nothing really happened. I think it's a complete disaster. He didn't deliver on anything that is really important, actually. So from my point of view, there will, as soon as the market or the economy gets weaker, and there's lots of signs. You know, Richard, we've got retail sales being very weak. We've got lots of numbers from the industrial sector being weak. We've got tax receipts basically stagnating. We've got, most importantly from my point of view, credit growth for commercial loans, but also for consumer credit is very, very weak. And auto sales, of course. So from my point of view, we're already in the downturn. So the Fed is actually tightening into the weakness, as Jim Rickards always says. And therefore, I think we will see this U-turn by the Federal Reserve. They will talk about lowering rates again. They will at some point consider implementing another round of QE. And believe me, 85 billion won't be enough. It will have to be above 100 billion per month, of course, because there's a declining marginal utility. And of course, as soon as the recession fears come up, there will also be massive fiscal stimulus. So I think, and this is really gonna be the point when gold will probably go a few hundred bucks higher within a couple of days or weeks.
In your executive summary, you reference an exclusive interview with Dr. Judy Shelton, the economic advisor to Donald Trump. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, it's definitely one of the highlights of the report, I would say. I am following Judy Shelton for a while now. She wrote some really good books. For example, Fixing the Dollar Now is a tremendous book. A Guide to Sound Money is excellent, and I think it was really encouraging to see that she was on the transition team of Donald Trump. Now I think many people get that wrong. She's not like, and she said that to us. It's not like they are talking like every day about implementing the gold standard. But I think that within the Trump administration, there's quite a lot of people actually knowing that many of the flaws that we are having and many of the issues and problems, that they're basically coming from our monetary system. And so I think it was very interesting to see a speech by the vice president, for example, where he talked about sound money. We called the chapter in the report, we called it Goodbye Dollar, Hello Gold, and we quoted Donald Trump, for example, quite often as well. He said, for example, I mean, I think we've never really heard that from a US president in the last couple of decades, probably. He said, we used to have a very, very solid country because it was based on a gold standard. We don't have the gold. Other places have the gold. He said that the dollar is too strong. Our companies can't compete with them now because our currency is too strong and it's killing us. So I think this is also one of the impressions that I had after talking to Judy Shelton. I think sooner or later there will be a point in time when probably on a weekend there's going to be some sort of a speech by the president that the dollar will be weaker. I don't know, 20-30% due to whatever reasons. But I think that the U.S. to succeed with this reindustrialization, they actually will need a significantly lower and weaker US dollar. And of course, on the flip side, that's going to be a very, very positive environment. And we know that this would really kick off the currency wars, because what would Japanese do then? What would the Eurozone do then if the US significantly weakened their currencies? I think this would... they would basically imitate that. And against what do you devalue? Against hard assets and especially against gold.
You've got some very interesting slides in terms of charts showing monetary surrealism. So the combined balance sheet of major central banks and versus the gold price. So it shows how the Fed, while the Fed has leveled off a bit, the other central banks of China, Switzerland, Japan, Europe are still increasing. Do you think there will be a sort of a realignment of the gold price to that trend as there was for many years, shown in your chart?
Yeah, normally there's a very strong correlation between gold prices and the direction of monetary aggregate. So sooner or later this will happen. We should not forget, we also got that in the report, that actually the gold backing of the US dollar is very close to its all-time lows. So actually due to all this money printing, gold got significantly cheaper in monetary terms. And as you can see here on the chart, I mean, we really crunched the numbers very, very thoroughly. And we thought that we have kind of miscalculated it. So we double checked it. But the number is right. So that the most important, the largest central banks only in the first quarter printed the amount of 1 trillion, so 1,000 billion US dollars, just in one quarter. And they printed it out of thin air, of course. And I think therefore it's no wonder that you know, stocks, real estate, of course bonds are at or close to the all-time highs because of this massive monetary inflation that leads to asset price inflation. Now, just to give you one perspective or one comparison, what you could do with this 1 trillion of money printed just in one quarter, you could buy 20 Big Macs in Switzerland, which is the according to the Big Mac Index the most expensive jurisdiction worldwide. You could buy for every person on earth 20 Big Macs in Switzerland for every out of this, I think 7.5 trillion people living at the moment. Perhaps a bit more, a bit smarter investment would be you could buy one Dukat coin. It's a beautiful coin from Austria, which is 1/10 of an ounce of gold for every person on the planet, just for the money that was printed in one quarter. I think, of course, we would recommend the latter, buying the gold, not the Big Macs. But I think this gives you a perspective about this, as we call it, monetary surrealism. And we all know that, the central banks printed themselves into a corner, and they won't get out of that because, as you can see, most countries really desperately need a weak currency, and as you've said, the Federal Reserve, their printing is kind of leveling off. The consequence is a very strong dollar, which is obviously negative for the U.S. economy and for inflation numbers, because it's acting disinflationary or actually deflationary. So that's some sort of a spiral that is getting out of hands, and this is a very, very dangerous game and basically a game that nobody will win.
Another very interesting chart here, commodities versus stocks, lowest relative valuation since 1999. So this is very interesting. I know in the financial technical analysis world, analysts will look to commodities, or gold in particular, as a leading indicator for commodities. So this is an indicator that could be showing a bottom for gold as well as commodities. Your thoughts?
I think, as you know, the Austrian school has got a different view when it comes to prices, and it says that there are no fair values and so on. So prices are always subjective, and therefore for us it's important to focus not only on absolute prices but also on relative prices, because one of the most important laws in finance and in the economy is probably the mean reversion. And as you can see on this chart, commodities versus stocks were at the lowest level. We only had that twice in history. We had that in 1971 and we had that in 2000. So on a relative basis, commodities are just extremely cheap versus stocks. That means that we're far away from the median, which is 4.1. We're far away from the highs that are between 8 and 9 in this ratio. And of course, this can happen in different ways. It can mean that commodities stay stable and stocks fall off the cliff. That can happen. It can happen with stocks being stable and commodities going through the roof, or it can happen in both ways. So stocks going weaker and commodities going stronger. But what I want to say is that there's probably more, from a relative perspective, it's just a more obvious trade being long stocks, being long commodities versus stocks. And I think we should not forget that last year, despite we had a very strong dollar, the dollar made, I think it's the dollar index a 14-year high, something like that. But still, many, many commodities were actually really strong, despite the fact that the dollar was that strong as well. So I think that's a very positive sign, and also very similar to gold. This is a bull market that's in the making. That's probably very, very early, and as soon as price inflation will become a topic, I think people will start getting bullish on commodities again.
Yeah, and speaking of bull markets, you have on the next slide the comparison between the 1970s gold bull market and the 2000 bull market still ongoing. Your thoughts on that?
Of course, bull markets, or bull and bear markets, they are never the same. However, there's quite a lot of similarities, and we showed this chart already in the last couple of gold reports. And what you can obviously see is that this bull market is definitely longer than the 70s bull market. But there's quite a lot of similarities because there was this big mid-cycle correction in the 70s from 1974 till 1976 when gold sold off from $200 down to $100, when disinflation was the name of the game, when everybody was gaining confidence in the US economy again. And then we showed that last year there was a great article in the Wall Street Journal in, I think, August 1976. And you could really see the same article nowadays again. It's just really bad bashing of gold and why it's useless and so on. And we know what happened afterwards. Gold went from $100 up to $850. So I think there's quite a lot of similarities. I think that in the 70s, of course, the big driver of gold was negative real interest rates, high inflation. And I think this is going to be the big driver going forward again because, as you know, we need negative real interest rates more than ever because the debt situation is getting out of control. So I think I've always said that the level as well as the direction of real interest rates is the most important driver for gold. And if one believes that due to the debt situation, we cannot afford high real interest rates again, then I think the consequence must be being bullish on gold. And that's basically one of my main assumptions.
And the next few slides describe what you were talking about earlier in terms of how the Fed is becoming boxed in, the potential for recession, and the rate hike cycles, how that links with recessions. Can you provide some insight on those slides?
Yeah, of course. That's out of the one of my favorite chapters in the report. It's called White, Gray, and Black Swans, and we're starting off this chapter with a fantastic quote by Ray Dalio, the founder of Bridgewater. I don't know if it's still the biggest, but one of the biggest hedge funds out there. And he said the two main risk factors for the average portfolio are less than expected growth and more than expected inflation. And for us, some sort of stagflationary environment, similar to the 1970s, is definitely in the cards. And as I've said before, from our point of view, a recession will be happening in the US sooner or later. Of course, that's quite an easy call. And don't get me wrong, a recession is, from our point of view, something normal, something healthy within a business cycle. Yeah, it's like breathing in and breathing out. Yeah, you need both parts. And a recession, although it hurts many participants, it lays the foundation for a sound recovery for a more healthy system actually. But I think the most interesting number in that chapter was that we checked on Bloomberg, and it said out of 89 analysts that are surveyed by Bloomberg, not a single economist currently expects a GDP contraction in 2017, 18, or 19. So nobody is seeing a recession within the next years, and everybody basically thinks that we're going to see growth rates between 2.2 and 2.4%. That's such a strong consensus. I've never seen something like that before. And of course, if the whole the positioning is that strong, if everybody is sitting on one side of the boat, there will be tremendous opportunities and tremendous moves as soon as people are switching to the other side of the boat. Meaning, okay, there are recessionary fears and recessionary tendencies coming up. This will be a moment that is gonna be very, very interesting in financial markets. And I think that there's quite a lot of signs, and we are quoting some of them in the report. First of all, we are seeing, as I've said before, quite a lot of numbers are actually showing us that a recession will happen sooner or later. One of my most favorite charts, it shows the interest rates since 1914, and actually in the past 100 years, 16 out of 19 rate hike cycles were followed by recessions. Only 3 cases turned out to be the exception to the rule. Now we're in a hiking cycle, and I actually think that the tightening already started when Ben Bernanke announced tapering. So we're seeing a tightening environment for quite a while now, and this normally leads to recessions or a combination of a recession and major market disruptions. Then we're seeing this massive artificial asset price inflation. The idea was that there was some sort of wealth effect. So meaning that due to rising stock prices and real estate prices, it would trickle down and then everybody would do well and will start spending. It didn't really work that way, yeah. So we all know that this wealth effect is something that economists want to see, but it's actually not really happening. So from our point of view, we're in the everything bubble. It's not only specific sectors of the market. Now it's real estate. It's stocks, especially tech stocks. It's bonds, of course, which are all at their all-time highs, and being what we call the everything bubble. So this makes it even more dramatic than the subprime bubble or the tech bubble 99-2000. So this shows that the next recession or the next crash, whatever, will probably be make the preceding ones like a kindergarten party. We're seeing that consumer debt levels are extremely high, and that we're seeing a massive slowdown in monetary growth, which always leads to recessions. We're seeing that the duration of the economic upswing is already extremely long. So although Janet Yellen said recently in her lifetime we won't see any financial crisis again and so on, I think the duration of this boom or this upswing that we're seeing, it's already very, very, very long. So should the current economic expansion for another 23 months, it would actually become the longest in history. So Therefore, I think that there's quite a lot of reasons actually that we will enter recession sooner or later, from my point of view, sooner. And this will have massive consequences for financial markets, and also massive consequences for gold, of course.
And the next couple of slides are very interesting. You talk about gray swans and their possible effect on gold. So you've got a table showing different gray swans and the effects on the U.S. dollar and gold prices. One slide also mentions a gray swan of high leverage, showing where China is relative to other past events, financial events, financial crises, Russia, Argentina, Mexico. Can you speak to that, and do you see the possibility of one or more of these gray swans happening?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I think, you know, that's at the beginning of this chapter. It's per definition, it's impossible to anticipate a black swan, because if it would be possible, then it would wouldn't be a black swan. For gray swans, this is something highly unlikely, but this can kind of be anticipated. And you know what's happening in China at the moment? It's just a massive credit bubble, and the People's Bank of China reacted in 2008 and 2009 much more aggressive than every other central bank. So they acted much more aggressive than the Federal Reserve, than the ECB, even than the Bank of Japan. So and of course it led to growth, but low quality growth. And from my point of view, you know, just from an M2 to GDP perspective, they're up at 210%, which we've never seen in a emerging market in the last couple of decades. So of course this might go on a bit longer, but it's already really extreme. So this would probably gonna be a credit crisis in China, would be some sort of a gray swan. We also got some other gray swans, like stagflation, a scenario that we are talking about for quite a while now, and we dedicated a big chapter in our last book to stagflation, which would basically be the pain trade for every investor, especially for institutional investors, because times of rising inflation, strongly rising inflation, and weak growth are actually the worst environment that you can imagine for bonds as well as for stocks. And the only asset classes that do well in a stagflationary environment are actually gold and silver and commodities, especially energy and soft commodities. What else do we have as a gray swan? A political crisis in the U.S., some sort of impeachment of Donald Trump, probably not unlikely. A geopolitical escalation. Well, we had a very interesting discussion with Jim Ricketts quite recently, and he very openly said that he expects a war between the U.S. And North Korea 2017 or 2018 at the latest. So he's absolutely sure about that. And that makes me pretty nervous, actually, because we've got no idea how that gonna develop. If it's gonna be just the U.S. against North Korea, I don't think so. This is actually really, really dangerous, and I don't know what this might mean for the U.S. dollar. Perhaps a stronger dollar. I'm not sure about that, but I think it would definitely be inflationary, and it would be a positive environment for gold. Then we've got hyperinflation, where I think the effect on gold would be negative, but only for nominal prices. So I think from
this would be a hyper deflation, right? Hyper deflation.
Yeah. Yes. would the nominal prices would do wouldn't do really well, but on a real basis, I think it would be an excellent environment for gold. Inflationary boom, of course, strongly positive for gold and negative for the US dollar. And the monetary reset, actually something that also Judy Shelton is talking about, and something that will happen sooner or later. It's inevitable. There will be a reset. There have always been monetary resets in economic and monetary history. And in every reset, gold played a major role. And I think this is also the reason why the big guys, like, you know, the US, but also the Eurozone, but also the Chinese, the Russians, and so on, they all hold massive amounts of gold, and those nations that don't hold too much yet, especially the Chinese and the Russians, they're constantly accumulating gold. And Rickard said, if you want to play poker with the big guys, you have to bring enough chips to the table, and those chips are actually gold. And therefore, I think that within the context of a monetary reset, there will be a revaluation of gold. I'm absolutely sure about that.
And that seems to be a key message theme of your report, is in terms of dollar de-dollarization, goodbye dollar, hello gold. So those are the next few slides. How is this happening? What is the mechanism? Is it through geopolitical alliances in Asia along the Silk Road route, or like the Shanghai Cooperation Organization Council there, the sort of NATO of the East, if you will? Is it happening through that mechanism, or how do you see that playing out?
Ooh, well, the thing is, there's actually so much going on at the moment. It's really hard to follow, and we had our advisory board discussion yesterday with Luke Roman, who's writing Forest for the Trees. It's a tremendous newsletter, focusing on those topics, and I think there's just so much going on at the moment. For example, with the first oil contract trading in Chinese yuan now, it will start end of July. We've got the whole Qatar crisis, which is no coincidence. I think it's no coincidence that Donald Trump's first trip abroad, that he went to Saudi Arabia, and that they signed a $300 billion deal on aircrafts and military equipment. I think that the big picture is extremely interesting, and we're seeing this de-dollarization for a couple of years now, and I think it's now definitely picking up momentum, because we've got the Shanghai Gold Exchange, which is becoming more and more important. I think that gold plays a key role for the Chinese. The Chinese don't want to develop or implement a reserve currency, but a trade currency. And there are so many things happening at the moment. Bilateral trade agreements between Chinese and basically every important emerging market, new stock exchanges and trading platforms being set up. There's just so much going on at the moment. But I think we're seeing this de-dollarization, and of course, the central role of the US dollar plays a crucial role for financial markets, and I think that this is also something that Judy Shelton mentions. There will have to be some sort of new agreement, because the US, they actually realize that they cannot afford the current situation, and they need a significantly weaker dollar. So the big question is, if the new currency system architecture will be introduced through a formal process, like a conference in a G20 framework. G20 is actually meeting now in Hamburg, or through a revaluation of gold reserves by the market. will the U.S. adopt a proposal of Judy Shelton and issue, for example, gold-backed bonds? It can happen. Or perhaps the U.S. will join what we call the euro model and will it mark its gold reserves to market? Because in the eurozone, gold reserves on a quarterly basis are marked to market. In the U.S., they are still at valued at, I think, $42 for some reason. Or third way would probably be, will the rest of the world just abandon the valuation of gold reserves based on market prices and follow the U.S. into a system of fixed exchange rates similar to some sort of classical gold standard? So there's we've written a couple of pages about that, and there's still so much to follow in that in regarding those topics. I think it's really interesting to follow at the moment what's going on with the big picture, especially Russia, China, and the U.S. And as I've said before, I think that gold will play a major role in that game.
And you've got a slide on in Bitcoin. In Bitcoin We Trust, playing on the In Gold We Trust report. Your thoughts on the cryptocurrency, movement is, do Bitcoin, do they have value? Are they seen as a currency? Are they seen as a store of value or simply a payment system? And how does the value and the utility of gold as a currency compare to Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies?
Well, first of all, I think that if you read the white paper by Satoshi Nakamoto, there are many similarities, and I think that they really wanted to create some sort of digital gold, and therefore, for example, a stock to flow ratio, but also the logo and some other terms like mining Bitcoin, that already shows that the creators of Bitcoins, they actually had gold in mind. And they've got a sound understanding of money. They know the Austrian School of Economics. So I think there are many similarities. There are also many differences. For example, gold has a track record of many thousands of years. Bitcoin is around for only a couple of years. But I think that, from my point of view, first of all, what I love about the whole discussion is, and I said that in a discussion with Ira Harris a couple of days ago, I love the fact that people are actually thinking and talking about money again. What is money? What are the characteristics of good and sound money? Yeah. So that's definitely something very, very positive. I don't know if Bitcoin will be around in 2 or 3 years. Probably yes. I'm pretty sure that all of those ICOs that are happening at the moment, that probably 95% or 99% of them are rubbish, and that they won't be around in a couple of years. But the market will decide which currencies to choose. And I think from an Austrian point of view, we have seen competing currencies, and market participants are deciding if they prefer to hold or pay with Bitcoin, gold, euros, dollars, whatever. So I really want to let the market decide. But I think we should not forget, we should not underestimate the fact that Bitcoin and the cryptocurrencies, they didn't go through a business cycle yet. So we actually don't know what the characteristics of Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies will be in a massive downturn, in a recession, in a crash. Will actually Bitcoin go significantly stronger or weaker? Richard, I don't know. I can imagine both ways. So this is going to be interesting. But for us at Incrementum, at the beginning, it was just for us, from an intellectual point of view, just interesting. We're developing quite a lot of things in the crypto space, and you should expect some big news from our side regarding Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies, because it's, as I've said before, it is some sort of digital gold. And I think, of course, Bitcoin faces several hurdles. But I think the technology that is being developed now, will change many industries. And there will be losers and there will be winners of this technological process and of the innovation. We try to be on the winning side, of course. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And let's close our discussion with the last slide. You have scenarios for the gold price. So you list four scenarios, A, B, C, D, and then you circle C and D, indicating, I guess, what you think is likely to happen, scenario C and scenario D. Just wondering your thoughts, why you think that, and scenario C is showing prices from $1,400 to $2,300 US dollar per ounce, and scenario D is $1,800 to $5,000 US dollar per ounce.
Yeah, well, of course, the Austrian school is quite different when it comes to forecasting, because it says it's basically and that's a very modest call, I would say. It's impossible to forecast the future. You can analyze what's happening and you can read from history, of course, and make assumptions, but it's impossible to forecast the future. And this is also why we're thinking in scenarios and we're weighting those scenarios. And of course, there's the Goldilocks scenario when everything is just going fine. We're seeing perfect inflation rates below 2%. We're seeing high growth. Everything is fine, deleveraging and so on. Then you probably don't need any gold. And this would lead to a gold price between $700 and $1,000. This is basically the scenario that many market participants expect at the moment. Then there would be scenario B, which is muddling through, with, you know, weak growth, but inflation not really picking up. We wouldn't see any real monetary normalization, so rates would rise, but not significantly. There would be talks about this quantitative tightening, but we all know that it's kind of a joke. In this environment, we are seeing gold between $1,000 and $1,400, and then scenario C and scenario D. And scenario C is the inflationary boom, high growth and high inflation, probably some sort of a stagflationary environment. Then gold could go up to $2,300. And D, scenario D, would be the adverse scenario, when there would be contractions or recession. There would be another round of QE, significantly higher than the round before, and we don't know what else central bankers have in their toolbox. Probably negative rates, probably more financial repression. There's probably many more things to expect, buying stocks, whatever. And in this environment, that's obviously the most positive environment for gold. We would see it between $1,800 and $5,000. So for the timing, we say this is, these are our scenarios for the term of Donald Trump. So, until 2021. I mean, if there's no impeachment or anything else. So those are basically the main scenarios that we're having. But I think what is also really interesting and if you're taking it from a different perspective, and if you ask yourself, when will I not need any gold in my portfolio? And our assumptions would be, you don't need any gold in your portfolio when the debt levels can be sustained or are reduced, when the threat of inflation is small, when real interest rates are high, when the confidence in monetary authority is strong, when the political environment is steady and predictable, when the geopolitical situation is stable, right. And when governments deregulate markets, they simplify tax regulations and they respect civil liberties. From my point of view, we don't see any of those points. And therefore, I think gold should be in every portfolio. And if it's 2%, 5% or 50%, it just depends. It depends on your scenarios, on your risk taking, on your time horizon and so on. But I think, one should definitely own, gold at the moment.
Well, that's great insight, charts and analysis. How can our listeners learn more about your work, Ronnie?
Well, we've got a completely new webpage, incrementum.li, where we've got a journal with all our publications. You can sign up for free for our In Gold We Trust report. We've got a special webpage just dedicated to the In Gold We Trust report with an archive where you can find all the prior issues of the report. It's ingoldwetrust.report. And of course we're regular guests at your services, so I think just Google it up and find out more about what we're doing, what we're thinking, and what we're actually also selling our clients.
Great, thank you very much for being on the program show, Ronnie. Thank you.
Thank you, Richard. Thanks for inviting me. It's been a great pleasure. Thanks.
The FRA Roundtable Insight Show is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the show each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Any discussions among the panel participants or responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the panel participants and do not take into consideration the listener's suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Please be advised that you invest or speculate at your own risk.